Starting a brand new series today called Mind Set. So just look at your neighbor right now and tell him, get your mind set. Ready? Go. All right. I want to talk to you today about this inspiring idea as we start this off that I think perhaps your greatest problem is not any of the problems that you have, but your greatest problem is how you think about the problems that you have. Science would agree with me, and so would Scripture. First, I want to talk about the science. Dr. Caroline Leaf is a neuroscientist who's been studying neuroscience and specifically how our mind affects our brains and body, and yes, your mind is different than your brain. And she's been studying this for over 30 years. She has four different degrees in the field. She also happens to be a spirit-filled, born-again Christian, and she is powerful. She's as powerful in the word as she is in the science. But she says this, according to all of her research, and also according to the American Institute of Health, at least 75% and as much as 90% of all physical sicknesses and diseases, behavioral sicknesses, mental, physical, in your body are a result of your thoughts. Because also, as she has shown through her research, and as she likes to say, your thoughts are things. They're real. They start as, they're metaphysical, but they actually create physical. Your thoughts literally change your brain. When you have a thought, it forms a substance in your brain. It causes DNA to express in your brain cells, and it's through that that memories are stored, that experiences are stored in your brain. And she has shown through her research, brain scan imaging has proven that when you have a negative experience, a traumatic experience, when you have negative thoughts, it literally creates these negative things in your brain, negative substances in your brain. It's toxic, literally. It causes your brain, which controls your whole body, to express chemicals and all kinds of other stuff and set in motion all these processes in your cells throughout your body that can literally make you physically sick. It's incredible what her research is showing. Now, she doesn't deny that genetics play a role, but as she says, genetics are a predisposition and not a destiny. So you can be predisposed to struggle with addiction. You could be predisposed for certain types of diseases according to your genetics. But according to her research, what sets those things in motion a lot of the time is your thought life and negative thoughts. It's incredible, but the research goes even deeper than that. And so allow me to go another step deeper, okay? According to another researcher from Stanford University, psychologist Dr. Carol Dweck has shown through her research that what determines how we think is our beliefs. And so what determines the thoughts you have, what types of thoughts they are, and the effect they have on your body and on your life are your beliefs. Okay? And so she has shown through her research, she wrote a best-selling book that's very well-respected about behavioral psychology, and the book is called Mindset. And what she discovered through her research is that almost all people fall into one of two main mindsets. How you are viewing life according to beliefs that you have, and here's something you really need to understand. You may not even understand that you have these beliefs. We all have beliefs. We're all operating out of a belief system, okay? And the beliefs you have in your heart affect how you think, how you view the world, decisions you make, how you respond to failure and relationships and opportunities. And she says, everyone falls into one of two main mindsets, a fixed mindset or a growth mindset is what she calls it. I think in our context today, as you'll see as we go through this, we could call these a fixed mindset versus a faith mindset, okay? Let me explain what I'm talking about. I think we have a little infographic to help us see this today. So here on your left, the blue mindset there, this is the fixed mindset. A fixed mindset is characterized by an underlying belief that your intelligence is fixed, okay? So through genetics, you got what you got. You got the body you got the intelligence that you got. Life dealt you a hand, and that's the hand you have, for better or for worse. It is what it is. They are what they are. Life is what it is. A fixed mindset. Here's the interesting part. If that's your mindset as you go through life, if you're operating out of this belief system, when it comes to challenges, you'll tend to avoid them, because you don't think you really have what it takes, because you're limited in what you have and your ability. When it comes to obstacles, you'll give up easily. When it comes to effort, you'll see it as fruitless or irrelevant, because, you know, you can't really develop and get better at anything. Why even try? When it comes to criticism, you'll ignore even useful negative feedback, even constructive criticism, even when somebody's trying to help you, you'll just ignore that. And when it comes to the success of other people, you will feel threatened by it. She's shown this through research, through studies of people responding to failure, challenges in their relationships, that there's this whole slew of people in our culture who tend to have this mindset. The result of this fixed mindset, these people tend to plateau very early in life and therefore achieve far less than their full potential. This is in juxtaposed against what she calls a growth mindset. In a growth mindset, it's governed by an underlying belief that intelligence can be developed. Like, yes, you were dealt a hand in life. You had the genetics that you have, the family that you had grown up, life dealt you a hand. But you believe, you just have this belief in your heart, this underlying belief, that the hand you've been dealt is just a starting point that you're going to develop from. If you have that mindset, when it comes to challenges, you'll embrace them because you know you can grow through them. Sounds kind of like a sermon I preached maybe last week. I don't know. When it comes to obstacles, you will tend to persist or persevere through them. What's the word say? Consider it pure joy when you face trials of many kinds, because you know the testing of your faith develops what? Perseverance. Yeah, because that's apparently important to God and a faith mindset. When it comes to effort, you'll see it as a path to mastery. Like, I'm going to give my full focused attention and effort because I know I'm going to learn something through this. I'll get better at this, and I'll eventually be able to do whatever I'm facing right here. When it comes to criticism, you learn from it. You learn from it. In a Christian context, right, we could say we bless those who curse us. We pray for them. You know, we want to bless them. We want to learn from maybe the hint of truth that or the half-truth that they're believing about us, you know, because if you're honest with yourself, most criticism is a half-truth, right? They might try to assassinate your character, but there's a little, they're using something that's a little bit true, right? And you can say from a growth mindset, well, I can learn from that. When it comes to the success of others, they find lessons and inspiration in it. What's the scripture say? Rejoice with those who rejoice. Interesting. The result of a growth mindset, they reach ever higher levels of achievement, often even exceeding what was perceived to be their potential. Growth mindset versus a fixed mindset. In our context, I think we could say a faith mindset versus a fixed mindset. Now, as I went through that, as you're thinking about your life, this is what's incredible about your brain, about your thoughts. Just as I was going through this, some of you were sitting there intentionally going, man, which one am I? But even if you weren't, that's what you were subconsciously doing. Everybody, just by talking about it, your mind is so incredible. What kind of mindset do you go through life with? A mindset is a collection of beliefs that determines how you think. And here's the really important part. And here's really what I want to talk to you about today and through this series. It's not just beliefs that determine individual thoughts that you have. You develop a pattern of thinking. And so your beliefs create a framework for you to think within. And that's your mindset. And here's what's so important for us to get today. If your mindset is not of God, it's very, very difficult to get out of that mindset. Even if you recognize certain thoughts are not right or not with truth or not of God, it's not just the individual thoughts, it's the pattern of thinking. It's your ways of thinking. And your thoughts literally create neural pathways in your brain, and you will tend to think the same way. And so your beliefs determine how you think. How you think determines the decisions you make, what your life becomes, and it shapes who you are as a person. And here's something else really important to understand. It doesn't just determine choices you make, but regardless of the hand that life deals you, your mindset will determine the amount of joy and peace and love that you experience and feel as you're going through life. In other words, let's just be real and honest. Life, we all have a crappy hand at times, right? Like we all have the hand we're dealt, the hand life gives us. Nobody has a royal flush, okay? Nobody, okay? We all have some nines and tens, right? We all have some twos and threes. We all have some cards. I'm trying to use a card analogy. You're staring at me like you don't play cards anymore, which you probably don't thanks to the digital revolution. But we all have some hands in our deck that are or some cards in our deck that are terrible, right? Life's going to be difficult for all of us, okay? Wake up. It doesn't matter. You know, you're looking at them going, well, they're good looking. Well, and we all know the studies, good looking people tend to get favored. I mean, that's what it is. I'm ugly. I mean, I'm screwed, right? I mean, well, it's a man's world. It's a man's world, and I'm a woman. Just how it is. Now, I'm going to vote for women. I'm going to try to do the feminist role and get women's rights up and all that, but it is what it is. I'm a woman. You know, we all have these things that we think that limit us, that aren't in agreement with truth or even with reality sometimes. And I'm telling you, listen, life is difficult for everybody. Everybody has challenges. Everybody has difficulties. Everybody has a struggle. In fact, two people can go through the same exact challenges, difficulties, and struggles. One is full of joy, peace, and love as they go through it. And the other one despairs at life. Why is that? Mindset. What are you believing about life, about yourself, about your situation? And how does God play into that? If you have faith in God, how does that change or impact or affect these things? Well, it should make a massive difference. And I'm just telling you today as we kick off this series, whatever problems you're facing, those really aren't your biggest problem. Your biggest problem is how you're thinking about your problem. 75 to 90% of your physical health problems are from your thoughts, I would say as your pastor today, 100% of your spiritual problems are from your thoughts. 100%. Scripture would agree with me. You see, Romans 10:10 says, it's with your heart that you believe and are justified. We believe with our hearts. We think with our minds. We believe with our hearts. We're triune beings because we're made in the image of a triune God. You are heart or spirit, mind and body, okay? You believe with your spirit. Your spirit is a believing being. You are a believing being. You're also a thinking being, but it's with your heart that you believe. Your heart is under the radar of your thoughts. And so when the enemy attacks you a lot of times, because we have a spiritual enemy, our battle's not against flesh and blood, but against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly realms. I've just experienced as a pretty sharp, I like to think of myself as a rather sharp Christian person who doesn't want to dishonor God. So when the enemy comes to me, he's not going to say, hey, go do this sin. Hey, you're an idiot and nobody's going to listen to you. Hey, you know, like, he doesn't say these things in our minds. We don't sometimes consciously think these things. We just feel them. And you have to be careful with feelings because they're connected to your spirit. And so you can feel something, and here's the key. You can start believing it even if you've never thought it or said it. But if you're feeling it, and if your spirit starts to agree even with that feeling, you're starting to make an agreement with the enemy of your soul. And that's a powerful, powerful thing. Jesus said it this way, Matthew 15:19, for out of the heart come evil thoughts. Out of the heart come evil thoughts. Your heart, your spirit exists in a deeper level than your mind. And science is showing us this. Carol Dweck saying, it's your beliefs that form how you think. Dr. Caroline Leaf is saying, how you think is what causes health or not health. It also is what causes you to make the decisions that you make in life that become your life. So what you are believing is so, so, so very important. Because it affects your thoughts. It affects your mindset. It creates your mindset. No wonder even some 2,000 years ago, even before the science could show us these things, God tells us in his word to take captive every thought, and make it obedient to Christ. Christians should be the most mindful people on the planet of what you're feeling, why you're feeling it, what you're thinking, and why you're thinking it. We should be the most deeply introspective people, reflective people on the planet. So many people go through life and they just do stuff and they just do whatever they think, whatever they feel, without even thinking about it. You know, you have emotions that cause difficulties in your life and you just do or say things. And then you look back and go, man, well, I don't even know why I did that. Well, you made me mad. And then you just move on. You need to analyze. You need to think about why you feel what you feel and why you think what you think. There are underlying beliefs governing those things. 2 Corinthians 10:3-5 says it this way. For though we live in the world, we do not wage war as the world does. The weapons we fight with are not the weapons of the world. On the contrary, they have divine power to demolish strongholds. Strongholds. The word stronghold there, it literally means like a castle or a fortress that is set up to defend something. Okay? But listen to the context in the next few verses. We demolish arguments and every pretension that sets itself up against the knowledge of God, who God is, what he's done, the truth he's revealed of the reality of how the world works and what's really going on. So often I think unchurched people or people who don't know much about God or Scripture, when they hear, like, the truth will set you free, and let me preach the Bible, this is God's truth, they just think it's like this information. God is revealing in His Word the reality of how the world works, the reality of who He is, the reality of who we are. Like, it is reality. When you think in ways or believe in ways that aren't lined up with who God is or what He says in His Word, you're actually starting to believe lies and things that aren't even true. And then you start living out of lies and you wonder why you have so many problems. Your life isn't even lined up with how life is supposed to work or what reality is. But you think it's true. Why is that? We'll get to that in just a second. We demolish arguments and every pretension that sets itself up against the knowledge of God, and we take captive every single thought to make it obedient to Christ. Caroline Leaf shows in her research, by the way, that your memories are literal thoughts that have been stored in your brain. Experiences you've had in your life aren't just experiences, they're thoughts. So to take captive every thought, I used to think that meant present tense, just be aware and on your guard about what is flowing through your mind at any given moment. And it absolutely means that. It also means if you have memories or experiences that aren't of God in your life, sometimes that's what's messing with you. Go watch some Caroline Leaf videos on YouTube. If you have a traumatic experience when you're younger, if somebody abuses you, if you go to war, you have PTSD, you have negative, toxic memories, experiences in your brain, and they are negatively affecting you until you process them and literally experience healing from them. This is, I heard her research on this just a few weeks ago. I was watching a video, a talk of hers, and I was blown away because I'm like, this is deliverance and inner healing prayer. When we go with people and say, hey, oh, I'm anxious, I have anxiety, oh, I have depression, oh, I have this. Okay, when did that start? Well, it started when I was in high school. What happened in high school? Well, I remember, you know, my parents got divorced. It was pretty traumatic. Oh, really? Tell me about that. And you realize out of that divorce, they started forming some beliefs that weren't consistent with who God is, right? Well, you just can't trust people. Well, I'm just alone in life. Well, it's just how it is, you know? And then they're living out of these beliefs and it's causing all these toxic things. Or maybe they resent their parents. They have bitterness, anger, hatred, resentment, which is literally negative, unhealthy, as Caroline Leaf calls them, toxic things in your brain that if you don't forgive and deal with it, it will make you sick both spiritually and even physically, okay? And so we have to take captive every thought and make it obedient to Christ. If we don't, the enemy cannot just have a foothold in our lives. He can have a stronghold. The word stronghold, as I said, means a defense. It's designed to protect something. So what is it? Contextually, if the battlefield is in our minds, which Scripture says it is, then it means anything you're relying on as reasons, as a belief basis, in your heart and mind for things you do or say that are not of God. And so it's like the excuses you give to justify why you won't forgive them. Well, they hurt me, and they are a terrible person, and if I forgive them, they'll think they got away with it. Okay, sounds like the enemy's got a little stronghold there of some unforgiveness, right? Well, I know we should give when we come to church, but man, I'm just telling you, if I give, I'm not going to have enough, right? Okay, is that what God's word says? Right? I know, we should give it our best in our marriage, but my spouse just isn't even trying. I'm done. You know, I've given it my best, you know? Okay. Is that consistent with truth? Because God's word says you should love your spouse as Christ loved the church and gave himself up for her. Like as he was dying on the cross and his spouse was nailing him to the cross, he was like, Father, forgive them. They don't know what they're doing. Like he didn't divorce us and leave, right? And so, man, what are the reasons? What are the reasons you're giving? What are you justifying? What mindsets do you have? How are you viewing life in a way that's inconsistent with the reality of what God shows us? Some common ones I've already talked about, but also sexual immorality, pornography, sleeping with someone you're not married to, sleeping with someone before marriage, living with someone you're not married to, fear, worry about anything, right? Fear or worry, anxiety about things, greed or materialism, not being a generous person financially or with time or service, unforgiveness, as I've touched on. Here's one that this is actually a sin, and these are all sins, but they're rooted in strongholds the enemy has in your heart and mind. If you struggle with this, self-loathing. I don't like myself. I don't like the way I talk. I don't like the way I look. I don't like the way I sound. I don't like this or that about myself. I don't like my body. I don't like me. That's actually a sin. It's rooted in a stronghold. And then one I'm going to touch on in a couple weeks. Not touch on. we're going to go deep on it. Unbelief. Well, I believe in God. Oh, that's good. Demons believe in God. That's great. Do you believe it? Do you live it? As Bonhoeffer says, only the obedient believe and only those who believe are obedient, right? These are all sins. And here's the thing. Traditional preaching, traditional Christianity would say, stop it. Sexual immorality, stop it. That's your problem. The problem is the problem. Stop it. Stop it. Stop it. Right? Fear, worry, depression, stop it. Why worry? You can't make yourself taller by worrying. Stop worrying. See how easy that is? Stop it. You're a sinner. Stop sinning. Greed, materialism. Stop it. Stop being greedy. Give. Stop. Unforgiveness. Forgive them. Stop unforgiving. Self-loathing, hatred. Like yourself. Stop not liking yourself. Stop it. Unbelief. Believe. Stop not believing. Stop it. Isn't that like the sum total of most preaching you hear in your life? Stop it. Stop it. Stop it. Right? And you're like, I'm trying! You ever have that feeling as a Christian? I'm trying to stop it! I make little red X's on my calendar every day I don't do it. And then I experience Romans 7. And the things I don't want to do, these I keep on doing. And the things I know I should do, I can't make myself do them. Why is that? It's called a stronghold. It's below your consciousness. The enemy's got a belief in you that's not true, and you're believing it, and you're agreeing with it, and that's why you can't stop it. You need to deal with the stronghold and break free of the belief and of the lie, and then, oh my goodness, the Holy Spirit flows, and you have power to stop it. And it's amazing. And that's a literal experience that you have with God. This is something that literally happens, okay? It's not just hearing information and you go, oh, okay. You repent and you believe. You know what the word repent means in Greek in the New Testament? Change your mind. Stop believing things that aren't true. Start believing what is truth. You ever seen the movie Inception? Which, by the way, is one of the greatest movies ever made, all right? How many of you have not seen the movie Inception? Oh, my dear. That was like 97% of our church right there. All right, this is going to go over well. along with the homework of praying every day and reading scripture every day, you need to watch Inception, all right? I'm serious. I'll never forget the day I went to see it because I went in not expecting much, didn't really know what it was going to be about, and walked out like, wow, super cool movie, amazing movie. In the movie, Leonardo DiCaprio is kind of one of the heroes, and I'm not going to give any spoilers or anything, but what they do is he's the hero, and what they do is they have technology that if you can fall asleep next to someone, right, they can hook you up to that person, and you can enter their dreams and be lucid and awake and, you know what's going on. You can create and construct the dream in the person. And then this is a technology that they're using to plant ideas or thoughts in people. So when they wake up, they think it's true and they start to live out of it. And so the whole movie is kind of building to this point where the hero goes into the dreams of the enemy to plant a thought so that when he wakes up, he will live out of that and he'll change and make decisions that will forever alter the course of history, you know? They call it Inception, which really just means beginning, but you're planting a thought that will take root and grow into a whole different history. And you know, they have to go not just within a dream, but a dream within a dream within a dream. They have to go three levels deep, okay? You'll understand that when you watch the movie. And here's why. They make a big deal about this. You can't just plant the thought and then everybody wakes up and you've done your job. Because the person can wake up and they'll recognize it as a foreign thought and go, well, that's silly. I'm not gonna do that. The point they make in the movie is you can't just plant the thought. You have to get them to believe it. You have to create a dream experience that is so vivid and real, they believe it. So when they wake up, they believe it and then they respond to it. Guys, this is just a movie, and yet this is what's happening to us in reality, only it's the other way around. It's not the hero that's doing this, it's the enemy. And the enemy's not going into your dreams, although sometimes he does, but most of the time he's not going into your dreams. Here's why this is so powerful. He enters a very real experience that you've had that's negative, where someone sinned against you or where you sinned, right? And he comes into that and he plants this idea, this thought that is a lie. And he plants it within the emotions and the context of a very real experience. And so because it feels so true, you believe it. And then you start to operate out of it. And listen, this happens to most of us, not even on a conscious level. It's on a heart level. It's on a feeling level, right? So John 3:16, for God so loved the world, he gave his one and only son, that whosoever believes won't perish. And you're like, oh yeah, God loves everybody. I know that. I'm just depressed. Why are you depressed? And you dig into it. Guys, I sit in counseling sessions with people like this. Why are you so depressed? Why are you so down? And you dig into it and you realize it's because God loves everybody, but he really doesn't love me. Right? You don't feel it. If you have self-loathing, self-hatred, self-criticism, all that junk in your life, I'm just telling you, you're not really believing that God really loves you as uniquely and amazingly as he does. You just haven't caught a revelation of that. What's revelation? What's an epiphany? It's understanding. It's where you don't just know it. You don't just know it intellectually. You understand it. You go, oh my goodness, God really, really, really loves me. Like deeply, like passionately. Wow. When you realize that, sometimes it's through a sermon. Sometimes it's through a life experience. When you get grace in a moment where you know you didn't deserve it and you go, wow, that was God. Wow, God, you really, really, really do love me. And when you have that experience, it's those types of experiences that shift the belief. And when the belief starts to shift, then the mind starts to shift, and then everything starts to change. This is why Romans 12:2 says, "Do not conform any longer to the pattern of this world, the mindsets of our culture, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then you'll be able to test and approve what God's will is, his good, pleasing, and perfect will." I like the Message paraphrase version. It says, "Don't become so well adjusted to your culture that you fit into it without even thinking. Instead, fix your attention on God. You'll be changed from the inside out." What happens when you fix your attention on God? When you read His Word and are reminded of His reality, you're reminded of His promises, and you remember the stories of His faithfulness, love, and care, His miracles and grace. What happens in your mind? Your inner beliefs, the deepest part of your spirit, the deepest part of you, start to shift. And they shift from fear to faith, because you start to realize, if He knows the number of hairs on my head, He knows every single experience that I've ever gone through, He knows the exact problems I'm facing this very day. And if you really believed that on the deepest level, fully believed and had confidence in that, like Jesus, you could sleep through even the storms that threaten your life. Remember, Jesus woke up, "Why are you afraid?" "Well, these waves are swamping us, we're gonna drown." "Where is your faith?" He says. He's like, "My Father's got this. I'm not going to let us drown." You start to shift from fear to faith. You start to shift from scarcity to generosity, because you know God is Jehovah Jireh, who will always provide. You start to shift from anger to forgiveness, because you know God forgave you, and His love helps you see how He loves those people who hurt you just as much, and they hurt you because they have been hurt, and you start to see that. And they've been believing lies, maybe some of the ones you've believed. And so they just need Jesus as much as you do. And that's really what it comes down to. And so you can forgive the way God forgave you. You start to move from self-loathing to self-love and contentment. You accept yourself. Why? Because God not only accepts you, it's like He knit you together in your mother's womb. All those little things about your body and your face, like He chose that for you. He delights in you and in who you're becoming. You're transformed by the renewing of your mind, and your mindset completely changes because your mind is set on God and His love. That's why Colossians 3 verse 2 says it this way: "Set your minds on things above, not on earthly things." You want to be set free? You want to be set free? Get your mindset on things above. Change your mindset to God's mindset. Now listen, here's what we don't talk about a whole lot. Here's what I want to close with. It's going to take some time. Like, God can do a miracle in a moment and you get set free and you feel so, "Woo, oh wow, it's amazing. I believe now, I see it now, wow, it's amazing." But then the next day, or maybe the next week, or if you're really resilient, maybe the next month, you're starting to slip back into those old patterns. You know why? It takes 62 days. 62 days. That's how long it takes, at least. 62 days. It takes 21 days to form a habit. And that's true. You probably heard that. It takes 62 days for a new neuropathway to be completely and fully formed and established in your brain. Every time you have a thought, it creates a neuropathway. At first, it's like a dirt path. The more you have that thought, it's like a paved road. The more you have that thought, it's like a highway. The more you have that thought, it's like an interstate superhighway. It takes time. It creates neuropathways. Your brain will tend to think in whatever way is the biggest, the most open, the most well-worn path. And so if you've been thinking for years and years and years and years, addiction, 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 I need the drugs, I can't change, it's hopeless, this and this and this, you come to church, "Wow, Jesus loves me, I can get set free, woo, this is going to be awesome, I'm quitting drugs today, woo, that's awesome," and you're good for a few weeks maybe, and then you're like, "Oh, all those old thinking patterns are still there," right? all those reasons, whatever drove you to the drugs in the first place, maybe they're still there, right? Maybe God got rid of some of them. But maybe a few of those reasons are still there. Those old temptations, those old beliefs, right? You know what temptation is? Believe something that's not true. Sin is the symptom. Any sin you commit is you're really believing something that's really not true about the heart of God. And that's why you step into the sin. Because you want it now and you think God won't give it to you later or something like that, right? And so you got to renew your mind. Renew your mind. Get in the Word every day. Pray every day. Proclaim the truth of God. Whatever area you struggle in, declare the truth of God. You feel alone, you declare God is with me every single day when you get up for 62 days. See if it starts to shift. That's what I'm talking about. It takes time. That's why we need to persevere. That's why you need to come to church every Sunday. That's why you need to get in a growth group. That's why you need to be in the Word every day. That's why you need to pray every day. It takes time. Your heart affects your mind, which affects your brain and your body. But your brain and your body, if they have these well-worn paths, they can affect your heart and mind and pull you right back in. I'm telling you, it takes time. It takes 62 days at least. Now, I know what some of you might be thinking. 62 days? Man, that's I was hoping and expecting you just pray for me and be all better. Like, quick fix. It's 62 days. That's like, man, that's like I'm going to have to make this a habit. It's like I'm going to have to live this way. Yeah. Yeah, it's a whole new lifestyle. And maybe that's why you've struggled before. Because you are viewing it as a quick fix. God wants to change you from the inside out. You're a new creation. He wants you to live like a new creation. That's a whole new way of living. Set your mind on things above. Set your mind on who God is, not on earthly things. Would you guys stand with us as we... Why don't we do that right now? In fact, this is one of the reasons why worship is so powerful. We're setting our minds on God, on who He is. We're declaring truth. We're rallying around a truth that is reality, and we're declaring it over our lives and over ourselves. It's a powerful thing if you're engaged in it and if your heart is believing it and doing it. If you're sitting there looking around at, oh, those are cool shoes, oh yeah, but I'm singing the words, I'm mouthing the words because I'm in church and I'm supposed to, but my heart is really disengaged. You got to believe it. Fix your attention. Set your mind. Wow, this is true. What we're singing about God right now is true. I'm going to declare this. I'm going to agree with this over my life. That's powerful. That's powerful. Let's pray. Our Father in heaven, God, we're just so thankful for your truth, your word today. God, I just pray right now you would reveal places in people where they need to change. Reveal not just, they know the sins. We know what we're doing that's not right, God. Where we have trouble discerning is why. Why do I feel depressed? Why do I feel anxious? Why do I have anxiety? Why am I so afraid? Why do I get so angry all the time? Why? Why do I feel like not reading my Bible all the time? Why? Why is it such a struggle for me to pray? What are the thoughts? Am I believing that it's fruitless, that it doesn't matter, it's not going to affect change? There's a root belief that's causing the problems. God, help us. I just pray right now today, even as I've spoken, Lord, you would reveal and unearth and unveil the strongholds of the enemy so that we can break free. Lord, we just ask that in Jesus' name. Amen.